Merry Christmas to everyone. And a special welcome to all of our butterflies out of the cocoon. You're one of them, yes?
Yes.
You're another Jagadish, aren't you? You're a yes. Lord. Yes. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
You can't have too many lords of the world. Ultimately, we all have to become named Jagdish, you know that, but at least we have two to start now. I feel more comfortable when we just had one, you know. I mean, non-duality is good, but it's nice to know that it will spread, so I appreciate it. Who else is, you're a...
Amriya.
Amriya?
Yes.
Beautiful. Welcome, Amriya.
Thank you.
That's Amrita, actually, but the T has transformed. Which was a cross, and now you're Maria, yes, Amriya, that is the giver of the nectar of the Christ into the world, yes?
Actually, this is what I always say when somebody asks me.
Huh. Okay, we're on the same wavelength. Who's our third? Your name?
Makara.
Okay, I thought it was Makara. But Makara, I think, is the same, because that's from Cambodia, right?
Yes, in Cambodia we say Makara.
Okay.
Makara.
All right, but it's the same. See, Cambodia in the old days, if you go back to the days of, what's the name of the temple there? The
big
Angkor Wat. It was a Hindu outpost, right, in the Copper Age. And, of course, Makara is the sea. It could either be a dolphin, a whale, a crocodile, or its real meaning is Mother Ganga, the river goddess, rode on Makara, right? So you are the mount of the great goddess who brings the water of life to the world. So it's a very auspicious name.
I always say that as well.
I'm glad I can repeat, save you the trouble of introducing yourself. Now, who am I? Do you know? No, I won't ask you. So, it's a joy to have these beautiful new souls, not new souls, but new visitors, old souls, I'm sure, in our Sangha for this very auspicious evening when we are celebrating for real the birth of Christ within each one. Because this is the time, you know, it's not an accident that Christmas comes at the end of the year, and the year is the microcosmic cycle of the Kalpa, the great year. And it's at the end of the great year that the Christmas season comes, which means Shiva comes, not only to destroy a world that has become evil, but to anoint the new gods and goddesses who will establish the next age of Satyuga. And so all who agree now to be Christed become the inheritors of the kingdom of heaven that is coming soon. So I'm assuming that's why everyone is here, to complete your Christification and make Christmas not just a memorial of one guy a few thousand years ago doing this, but of the realization that this is our divine birthright, and this is the moment to fulfill that destiny, because it is the will of God that we do so. And God has made it very easy for us, because there's nothing in the world left to want more than God, right? The world is exhausted, everyone's on lockdown, there's mass deaths, tyranny, the whole social system in collapse. The world is basically over. What could you want from it? The only thing that's rational to want is liberation and God realization. So it's the most auspicious time, because everyone in their right mind is going to choose to be Christed. But how many are in their right minds anymore? This is the question. So the real problem is that the ego, which is the operating system that they install in you in Kali Yuga in your last few lives, that is at war with God. Okay, how many of you already knew that, that your ego is at war with God? Yeah, okay. This is the key point. Your ego has to be at war with God because it wants to believe that it's not God. Now, the truth is there can only be God. God is infinite. God is all-encompassing. We are in the mind of God right now because there's nowhere else you could be, right? So the truth is that you are that, right? You are that. Thou art that. You know, non-duality is not simply a theory or a philosophy. It's a commandment. When the Vedas write, thou art that, that's a commandment that you must be that. Just as in the Bible, the first command is fiat lux, right? Let there be light. It's not the sunlight or certainly not electric lights that we're being talking about. It's the light of the Jyoti Bindu, okay? The inner light, the third eye, the light of Shiva within that must be lit up now. That's the first stage of being Christed. So here at Sat Yoga, for the benefit of those who are new to our teachings, we have three mantras. You've probably already heard them many times. Grace of every meal, we say them. But the point is this. The first mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, is the surrender to God. Now, Om Namah Shivaya could be said in one of two ways. It's either, I salute God wherever he or she may be and whatever you are, and I don't know, but I'm pledged to you. And it's more of a mental thing because you don't know. It's a third person God, somewhere maybe, but I'm not sure. And then there's the I-thou relation in which you say Om Namah Shivaya as Lord Shiva, I am yours. I belong to you, mind, heart, body, soul, my money, my life, everything is yours. And then that is what lights up the Jyoti Bindu, you see. That's what God gives you in return for that I-thou relationship with Shiva. And then that enables you then to get to the second mantra where it becomes authentic. Otherwise, if you say Shivoham and you say it in vain, meaning you're saying it because everybody else is doing it and you're supposed to, but that you don't realize that you are Shiva, then you feel bad about the fact that this seems like an empty ritual to you and you're just doing it. But if you've had your Jyoti Bindu lit up, it's real. And when you say it with that realization, that it's not a theory, I feel the presence of God within, then the Bindu, which is the light of God, emanates the nada. Okay, the nada is the sound. You have sound and light. These are two principles. And it's when the sound, now at the highest level of the para nada, it's a soundless sound. It's the sound of silence. But the silence that, as Sri Ramana says, is pure eloquence. It's the logos. It's the word of God being spoken in the silence of your heart. That is now connected with the third eye, and the entire consciousness is again unified. Shiva and Shakti is one, and the consciousness then expands beyond the individual level to realize itself as the entire cosmos, which is the third mantra of Om Tat Sat. All of that is Sat, is the self, is being, is the one intelligence that I am. And then that final unification of the transcendent and the immanent is the completion of our journey through time and space in this kalpa to the return to our origin that is now our destiny. And that invokes the singularity of the light that is shining through the film that produces this holographic illusion, this cinematic show, and the light itself comes through. The film burns. You know how that happens when the film melts and then suddenly there's just white light? That's how the whole kalpa is going to end, but it's a blissful light. It's not just you know, a projector that has made an error in its closeness to the film, but it is a realization that we were never anything but that, Om Tat Sat, and then it becomes realized as the truth of the cosmos. And it's the glory of God. That's how God returns in the end. It's not that some guy comes down from the clouds and says, I'm back. No, it's not that way. It's that God, as God really is, washes out the illusion and brings truth in the form of that infinite light and power and love and intelligence that we really are, and dissolves the illusory forms that limited our capacity to realize our divinity. So, if your ego is still in a war with God, your soul has to take the side of God, because otherwise the ego will go to extreme lengths to continue its illusion that it exists separately from God, right? Nothing can be outside of God. So the ego can't be real. There is nothing outside. God extends to infinity. But if your ego believes you're not God and you're living in a world that is separate from God, you're living in a lie, an illusion. And to maintain that illusion against the power of the reality of God, the ego has to do things like get very sick. It has to create symptoms that divert its attention from the presence of God within to its body vehicle. And then it has to get so concerned and obsessed with its health, and it could be its mental health as well as its physical health, and it's the health of all the people around it, that it diverts its attention and the light goes off. And then one is no longer able to feel that presence and transcend the ego. So if you're in that state where your ego has created symptoms of suffering for you that are taking your attention away from the core of your being, you have to overcome that through total surrender and say, I accept the body and the mind in whatever condition they are not who I am. They are just vehicles. And by returning to the total surrender to God, that light, the bindu and the nada, will reorder the pranic flow so that the anamaya kosha becomes ordered again. Because that's the meaning of God. God creates cosmos. Cosmos means order, divine order. And the body becomes disordered when the ego mind interferes with the mind of God and creates resistances and difficulties produced by the ego's anger, its dissatisfaction with life, its depression, its sorrow, its inability to feel the bliss of God and sustain it because it wanted something that it didn't get. And instead of getting and receiving what there is to get, the infinite blessing of God, it chooses to focus on the lack. And then that shows up within the life and the karma and one's destiny. So we want to overcome that through surrender, and then healing takes place. Healing is wholeness, and the wholeness comes when the consciousness is reunited with God and doesn't exist as some separate appendix that tries to have some individual existence separate from God, which is not possible. And the only result of that can be suffering. So the ego can't win the war, but it can it can delay your Christing and your attainment of the lotus throne of divinity that is being offered now. So I hope that no one chooses the ego and its petty problems over the infinite glory of God that wants to rush through you like Mother Ganga and give its waters of life to the world through the instrument of your mind and body. So this is the meaning of Christ Mass, that all of us are to be manifestations of Christ consciousness. And Christ, of course, is the equivalent of Krishna. Christo, Krishna, same. The same God form given in India as and in the Middle East. But Krishna gets the good role. He gets to do everything, break all the rules, steal the butter, steal the women, have all the gopis dancing, playing for him, and he kills the demons, you know, and he teaches Arjun, and he's rewarded and loved and all of that. Christ gets no fun at all, and the satanic ones kill him, you know, and he make God look like a loser in the West, you know, and he suffers all the dark side, and he was totally innocent. So, you know, there's a split in this in the God image that also has to be healed. So when we are Christed, we must also be Krishnified, you see, and in India they celebrate this as Krishnamas, actually. More than Christmas. So we have to recognize that these are two sides of Vishnu, Christ and Krishna, and that Mahavishnu unifies these two. And then Vishnu is unified with Shiva, which brings on from the navel of Vishnu, Brahma, who then is able to create a new kalpa, right? Brahma is like of a secondary level, but until that unification has been attained, then Brahma can't bring about the new age. So this is part of our function as well. All of us participate in all of these three aspects of God. But the other two aspects, because there are five that they speak of, are important. One is God's concealment. God conceals himself in the ego. And it's very important that you recognize that your ego is not actually other than God. It's its own false belief, because there really is no ego and there is no world. All of this is only Shiva. So that realization brings the unification with all of those higher levels of the spectrum of consciousness, which is one, but like a spectrum of light, looks like many different colors, many different levels of being. So everyone, because every ego has a different density, and therefore creates a different interference pattern of the divine light, everyone is living at a different level of consciousness. And that's why egos can hardly ever have any relationship. Il n'y a pas de rapport, because egos are all on a slightly different station or channel, and they're a station of the cross, really, but they are at different levels of suffering and different levels of desire and fear. And so they can only project what they went on the other, but they cannot actually know the other as they are, because there is no other. There is only the self to know in all the many different forms. And so it's this overcoming of the illusion of non-duality that is really what is meant by killing the ego or transcending it. It's not that there is some actual entity that has to be, you know, hit with a lightning bolt. It's just that you have to realize you are the lightning. You are the diamond. You are the God self, not that little ego that's chattering all the time trying to get you to pretend you're not that. So it's the overcoming of pretense and the allowing truth to come into your mind and your heart and to be the manifestation of that real truth, not the empirical belief systems of the ego that have created all the evil and all the suffering in the world. That real truth that is the truth of the heart, not just symbolic truth that the mind believes. If you get all of these teachings only at the level of mind, you're just a parrot. You can repeat it, but it has to be in the heart so that it literally flows as a truth that is your life, your reality, not something you've acquired, but a realization that you were always that, and that the ego never was who you were. So you don't become Christed. You don't become Buddha. You don't become God conscious. You realize you have always been that, and that you had concealed this from yourself. And then the ego realizes that God has been playing a cat and mouse game with you all along, making the ego get closer and feeling, oh, I've touched the light, but then I've lost it, and now I'm back and suffering again and in my jouissance enjoying this. And then suddenly God comes in some way and forces you to see something, and oh, yes, okay, I'll be good, and then, right? And so there's all of this play that is going on between the ego and the real self. But ultimately, the power of the real self will overcome all the little tricks of the ego, and those tricks only amount to self-sabotage. They don't amount to any real strategy that has caused you to beat God at chess or something, you know. It isn't like that. Even Ingmar Bergman couldn't pull that one off, you know. So you can't beat God, so the best thing you can do is surrender and obey. And if you do that, it's through total obedience to God, the will of God within, the heart and the mind, that you know you don't have to follow rules. It's not based on rules. It's based on what your heart knows internally as your own truth and your own love. But the fear of being vulnerable that the ego feels is what keeps one from opening and expanding to that infinite extent that is our real nature, and would rather fight it out with other egos than surrender to God. But it's only that obedience that brings real freedom. If you want freedom at the level of the ego, it's always going to be a power struggle, a battle, and fight or flight. And in the end, always, you won't be able to grow. You won't be able to plant yourself anywhere, because there can be no holy communion until that surrender has happened. You can't really be part of a community. You can't really be in harmony with others. You can't really be unconditionally loving despite the games that other egos will try to play with you to get you to fall into the same round of mud wrestling that they're involved in. And so it is that ability to stay above the mud as the lotus that never falls into the dirt and is always able to shine even in the midst of a field of maya that turns it into lila, turns it all into the divine harmony. By seeing it, what you see is what you get when you see with the eye of Shiva. So this is the meaning of Christmas for me and for the ancient sages, the realization of this eternal truth. And not just to believe it, but to make it real in your life here and now. Not in the future. The truth is only now, because time is an illusion. And if you put this off even for one day and say, well, I'll think about it, and tomorrow I'm going to meditate all day, you've already lost it. There's no tomorrow in God consciousness. And there's no yesterday. There's only this instant in which the opening to the timeless allows eternity to pour in and turn time into total presence, total consciousness, total liberation. That's our nature. That's our birthright. That's the gift we get at Christmas if we want it. And then we become evergreen. We become eternal trees of life. And the garden of evil, the garden of evil falls, and the garden of Eden is born again. So, well, that slip has to be understood. That duality of evil and Eden is what we're living now today at the end of Kali Yuga. They're in superposition. As Ibn Arabi called it, the garden and the flames, right? The world is in flames, but at the same time, the garden is blossoming. And so we have to live in both. And that requires humility, generosity, forgiveness, mercy, and recognition that everyone is in the struggle to overcome the ego and become Christed. And we should support the soul in its struggle to surrender to God, not collude with the ego or attack the ego because it hasn't yet become God conscious, or attack ourselves for that, but to be in that state where you realize you are that, and it's only a matter of dropping the concealment so that the revelation can be shared with all and bring joy to the world. And that is what we are to do on this silent, holy night when we become the manifestations of the Divine Presence within and without. So Merry Christmas to all. Namaste. Before I leave the floor, I want to give a gift because you're supposed to do that on Christmas. I was given this Santa hat to wear, but the truth is, I am not Santa here. The real Santa actually is our original Jagdish, and so I want him to wear it. This Jagdish is Father Christmas. It's Tassat Yoga. And he is the secret hidden giver who has made all of this possible, quite frankly, and deserves much more credit than he ever allows himself to receive. But he's really the only one who has the right to wear the Haji t-shirt. You know? Anyone else, they wear it, it's, oh yeah, I wish, sure, right? Jagdish is the Haji t-shirt. He's the embodiment of Haji. And so I want to offer my salutations and Namo Jagdish because of the greatness of your heart in making all of this be able to blossom. Do you want to say anything, Jagdish?
No.
Say Haji.
Haji.
Okay, good. That'll do. You see, the humility is so deep that there's no need for words. And that's the greatness of Jagdish as well, you see. I have to say all these words, but he embodies it without saying anything. So may all of us learn that secret of shining in silence with no need to get any credit for anything, but to be the real Santa Claus, who gives everything so that the new world can become a reality, which only happens through the dana, the donation, the giving of everything to God, and then we get everything back. If you just give a crumb, you get a crumb back, maybe 10 crumbs, but you don't get much. But if you give everything, then you get everything in return, not just for one life, but for the whole next kalpa. We are sustained through the giving of something that is not even very valuable, which is our ego, but we get the infinite and the eternal. So it's a beautiful offering that our making enables the real Christ Mass to be a gift for the whole world through that tiny sacrifice. So, I think I've said everything that I meant to bring this Christmas, and I hope everyone is in a state of joy and love and of being reborn. So there's a clean slate. No one has a past, okay? No one has any attachments. No one has any diversions from God consciousness. Everyone is living within the field of divine energy and feeling oneness with the Lord. And in that state, then all will be Christed. All will become realizations of the Holy Spirit. All will become one with the Father and the Mother. And all will be finally able to have the power over Maya that gives us the authority to create a new world and not be victims of the oppression of the old world, but shine with such power of divine energy that it overcomes all the demonic forces that are now invading and taking over the world. And God will not allow that. But God needs spiritual warriors willing to be courageous enough to shine with that light that washes away all the darkness. May we be that spiritual army, and may all be welcome to join and to shine
like all of these lights. The world has to become lit up with the light of God. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Shivoham.